Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Anchorman Paul Rasmussen. Day two of three, the fifth annual Eradicate Hate Summit. This is a global summit going on at the David Lawrence Convention Center. And earlier this morning had a chance to talk to the 46th governor of the state of Pennsylvania, Tom Corbett, who served 2011 to 2015, and asked him how he got involved in this important effort.
Laura Ellsworth had invited me when she was forming it with the chancellor 6 years ago to become involved. And I was much more involved the first couple of years. This year I've been traveling quite a bit, so I wasn't able to be involved, except for today when I'm going to introduce Governor Shapiro to the crowd at around 11 o'clock. But it's something that was also came home to me because Michelle Rosenthal, who I think you know.
Yes.
She lost her two brothers in that, and we are friends. And I just decided that it was something good for me to get involved with. I wasn't working full time at the time. And I just believe that people can't just watch it on the news and let it go and say, well, wait until something else happens. And the effort that's been taking place here in Pittsburgh by the Eradicate Hate Summit, which is a global summit, people coming in from around the world to talk about the issue of hate. Very tough issue. Unfortunately, we've had hate, you know, probably the entire portion of humanity at this time. But how can we eliminate it? How can we reduce it? And they talk, I was looking at the Post-Gazette today, the headlines there about how somebody talks about trying to reduce his anger when he was a young man. And, you know, if you don't even talk about it, we're never going to go anywhere. And I look at, yes, we do have political hate. We don't like each other's parties. I can't say that I'm a member of that. I would say I respect each other's parties. I respect the different positions. But who can continue this type of violence and random violence also?
And for those who would wonder who will be speaking over the next 2 days now to try to get some kind of collective effort to reduce, at very least, the hate speech that goes on.
Well, I'm going to point them to the Eradicate Hate website, which is eradicatehate.com. Because there is the agenda, and I don't have an agenda here in front of me at the moment. But there are many sessions. There's over 1,000 people that I think will be attending this at this point, not only in person, but from people around the world. So the subjects are varied. I just don't, unfortunately, can't help you, Larry. I don't have that in front of me.
Okay, that said, it's obvious that you, as a Republican former governor introducing the current Democratic governor, that in itself sends a message.
Well, you know, I've known Governor Shapiro, Josh, for 30 years now, I guess. And I can say we can agree on some things and we probably disagree on some things. But it's the manner in which we disagree that has to be taken in light of you can disagree politely, you can disagree But anger and hate has no place in a disagreement, particularly in a democracy, in a republic like we have in the United States. Unfortunately, throughout our history, we've seen that hate has taken over. Probably the best case of that was the Civil War back in the 1860s. And many other instances where you see hate has taken over our better angels and let our worse angels come out. Between the governor and I, we can talk very well. We have found some things that are in common, and where there's some things that we're just not going to be in agreement. He's the governor now. I was the former governor. The governor gets to choose what he wants to do. I get to choose to comment as I see fit.
And you both share a previous role of being attorney generals for the state. So you have a lot of common ground, and I'm sure a lot of interesting conversations between the two.
Well, we do. And in fact, we have talked on various issues from the time he became attorney general, time into governorship. We don't talk too often, but we have very good conversations. The most recent time we were in person was unfortunately due to the firebombing of the governor's residence and the effort that we put, former governors and former first families put into raising money for those portions of the property that can't be repaired without private money rather than state money.
I know that being in Pittsburgh, you know, with the Tree of Life, as you mentioned, with Michelle Rosenthal, one of our colleagues here, her uncle was one of the victims too. And then as they finally, after all these years, it'll be 7 years, announced that they're about to have the reconstruction that many people have waited. You continue to have these splinter groups of hate. And it came to our town that year in October. And it's troubling to many people that it doesn't seem like we've gone too far beyond.
You know, if I had you understand, Larry, I'd ask you to detail that a little bit better. When we say we, I think many people have moved on beyond that. But the we today isn't just the community of Pittsburgh. Unfortunately, it's a worldwide community. It's on something called the Internet and the ability to spread hate anonymously, with nobody knowing who said what, and people believing what they read when there's been no fact check with the media, not nearly the effectiveness that they had even 20 years ago, 10 years ago. The fact, I would never say we, I say individuals. For instance, the individual at the Tree of Life, the individual in Utah, the individual in Minnesota. Those were individual acts. What stirred those acts? I truly believe a great deal, and I've talked about it with the organization I'm part of, Keep Our Republic, is the internet and the ability to for people to communicate anonymously and stir things up. Do you ever see a lynch mob on TV? Remember watching the old Westerns and you'd see a lynch mob?
Right, the mob mentality.
A mob mentality. Well, there's a mob mentality on the internet, and nobody knows who they are. And so they can say anything. They could be your next door neighbor. They could be something that somebody who goes to school with you, but you don't know who they are. At least in the Westerns, you knew who they were and the people could be face down. The difficulty is the internet and what it allows people to say and do without having to be responsible for their actions at all.
Is there anything do you think we can do about that, or is the genie just out of the bottle and we have to deal with it?
Unfortunately, I think the genie is somewhat out of the bottle. I think efforts to get it back in, but particularly in our country, one of the best things we have is also, it's a double-edged sword, and that's the First Amendment and freedom of speech. People can say what they want to say. There's, you know, there are court cases to say, well, you can only go so far with that, but it's very difficult to retract a statement that somebody has made. They may, you know, if they want to say they're sorry, they shouldn't have made it, that's fine. But you know, with hate groups, unfortunately, that hate fills their heart. And you know, I often tell people that, you know, you need to look above, look to the Lord to try and help us change some hearts.
EradicateHateSummit.org. Former Governor Tom Corbett, appreciate your time as always, Governor. Thank you. Good luck today. Had a great conversation with the former governor, who will introduce also current governor Shapiro. It's 9:15 at KDK. I think I know the professor you're talking about.
Robert. Robert Thompson.
Yeah, we've talked to him many years over a period of probably, since I've been on the air here in the mornings, 24 years.
He's out of Syracuse University, the professor of media and popular culture. He's the first person that the networks call when something like this transpires. He has such a great encyclopedic knowledge of entertainment.
Yeah, and Robert Redford had such an impact. I think of him as one of the, you know, AAA actors.
He's an A-lister from the 1960s, 70s, and 80s, and well into the 90s. Larry, I hate to say that he's the most influential actor of his time, or the most significant one, because there's so many good ones from that era, including his friend Paul Newman. But there's a long list of other great, you know, Richard Burton, for example. I mean, we could go on, but, you know, he's one of the people who you would list among your top actors from that era, in the top five at least.
Well, I'll be interested to hear what Robert Thompson has to say and his impact coming up. Meanwhile, speaking of actors, Noah Wiley, who just won a Primetime Emmy along with multiple Emmys for the show The Pitt, which is on HBO Max, the season one features Pittsburgh. It's literally The Pitt is Pittsburgh. It's set at AGH, and they're gathered there in the next half hour.
You mean Wiley is there
to talk to the media because they're doing some filming here for the next season. And again, the seasons, in this case, the first season, is one shift, 12-hour shift of the emergency department. And each episode is 1 hour in real time.
Of that shift.
And that's what's different about this than anything I've ever seen before.
So how would you describe the, as it unfolds, would the word intense be a good word to use?
Very intense. Very intense. As you would expect an emergency department in a big city to be. And Noah Wiley had been on other shows before. So this is a different opportunity for him because he kind of plays the elder statesman as the experienced doctor in the ER.
And he said something interesting to people who work in ERs when he was getting his award on Sunday night, his Emmy Award for Best Actor in a Drama Series. I thought it was really remarkable, the tribute that he paid to people who work in trauma centers and ERs around the country.
Yeah, he stopped down to pay tribute. And so our producer, Erin Farragonio, is there, and she is bound and determined to get Noah Wiley on the show because we'd love to talk to him about his experience in Pittsburgh and being an Emmy Award winner. He seemed really genuinely thrilled on Sunday
night.
She's
been chasing an interview with him since yesterday morning.
Actually, we had talked about it toward the end of season one and said, let's talk to Noah Wiley. So she's been working on this. So she is down there at AGA, they're going to have a little media chat, and we'll see if we can snag him for tomorrow's show.
Yeah, and I think that they're going to start that little media doodad in about 30 minutes or so.
That said, check this out. Elton John.
Oh, I love this story. I saw this earlier.
Had a very unusual necklace.
This is really crazy.
Like nobody knew what it was. And so, check this out.
Legendary singer Elton John revealing what he's actually wearing around his neck, and it's weird. The Tiny Dancer singer says he turned his kneecaps into jewelry in a new documentary called Elton John.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Untouched by gold, he says that after he had surgery to remove his kneecaps, he took the bone fragments to a jeweler who turned one of them into a necklace. The other kneecap was made into a brooch. Because sure, why let a perfectly good kneecap go to waste?
Oh, my God.
You know, he's been this way his whole career. I mean, what was the first thing that he did that was crazy? All the weird glasses that he used to wear, right?
Yeah, but
different shaped glasses, and then the costumes would go completely over the top.
Well, let's ask Lynn Hayes Freeland, who joins us by our live stream, KDKRadio.com, presented by Metropolitan Window Company. Lynn, ever consider using body parts for your jewelry?
I was going to say, I know you're not going to ask me about kneecaps in particular. But I will say this, not so much body parts, but, you know, there's this whole thing now with people getting cremated and then the survivors are taking parts of their ashes and putting them in necklaces and bracelets and that kind of thing. That has actually caught my interest. But the kneecap thing, not at all.
I gotcha. So, sorry, we had that news story breaking about Robert Redford. I'm sure you've seen many of his films.
Oh, my goodness. I wanted to weigh in on the Robert Redford conversation because for my generation, he was the heartthrob. I mean, Paul mentioned Paul Newman. And yes, he was a big deal, too. But Robert Redford was, you know, probably the biggest heartthrob that came along. I was trying to think of who would even come close to him. Maybe George Clooney. And in this day and age, it's probably Idris Elba. But those are the men that women would watch a movie for. Like, it didn't matter to me what movie Robert Redford was in. I just wanted to see him. But I will say that The Way We Were is my favorite, probably because I like Barbra Streisand and I love the theme song.
I don't know if you heard me talking about meeting him when Pitt played BYU. This was 1989, so it's a long time ago. So Robert Redford was just in his mid-40s, and he had that cool jean jacket and his cowboy boots, and he owned a restaurant. Well, he owned a whole resort, Sundance, which is a film institute and a great ski resort. And he happened, I was joking to the guys, I'm sure my friend Bob will be walking in any time now, not thinking in my wildest dreams that he would. And then sure, minutes later, he comes walking through the door, walks past our table, and nobody knew what to say. I'm sure if you took a picture of us, we were all, you know, mouth open, like, oh my God, Robert Redford. And I said, thanks for dinner. And he said, who said I was buying? So that was my big exchange with Robert Redford.
And let me guess, he didn't comp your dinner either.
No, but that's okay.
Okay.
Meanwhile, okay, we're going to talk about, there is so much to cover. I'm curious what's top of mind for you this morning. So stay with us. Lynn Hayes Freeland, right after the news with Paul Rasmussen. That's the theme from The Natural, starring Robert Redford. We're joined by Lynn Hayes Freeland every Tuesday at this time. Lynn, how many Robert Redford films do you think you saw?
As you guys were talking earlier, I was like, oh yeah, saw that one. But again, I need to establish, I was a huge Robert Redford fan. So it would have been in that era where I would have seen them all, just like in this day and age. I've seen all Denzel Washington movies. Well, I mean, when I lock in, Larry, I lock in, and I was locked in on Robert Redford.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to hear from other, you know, actors and people in the industry of his impact in film. Obviously, at age 89 and the number of movies he made, he reached a lot of people, and he fell in love with that Sundance place in Utah when he filmed Jeremiah Johnson, the Mountain Man movie.
Right.
So he decided, well, I'll just buy this 5,000 acres and turn it into a film institute and ski resort. Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, it must be nice. You know, the other thing about Robert Redford is, and he's certainly not alone in this, but there was a philanthropic side to him that you had to respect. And I always think that people with that type of influence and power need to do more for the greater good. And I think that he did.
All right. There are a lot of issues on the table, politically, newsworthy. What's on your mind this morning, Lynn?
Yeah, you know, politics is such a hotbed, but I want to pick up on one thing that Tamira mentioned in her segment. She talked about this bomb being found underneath a news vehicle, and that just sent a chill through my spine, my soul when I first heard it, because there was a time that news organizations, news crews, news people were welcomed into a neighborhood. You'd show up in that KDKA car and say, hey, I wonder if I could talk to you. And people would say, sure, let me get on TV. And then something happened. There was a shift. And all of a sudden, there was a distrust against the news media. And then it became violent, I'm going to say. I mean, certainly we never saw anything to the extent of a bomb underneath one of our cars. But I can remember KDKA vehicles being rocked and shaken by angry crowds in certain situations. And it just, because that was my life. You know that, Larry. It distresses me that there's that kind of reaction to us anymore. And then the other thing that struck me about that is with all of these people being suspended, losing their jobs for making comments on social media, while I got into news before the advent of social media, makes me feel like a dinosaur, but I did. But we were never allowed to have an opinion publicly about anything. And I'm not sure when that shift happened either.
Well, the lines have been blurred for some time now. All the network shows, the anchors, and a lot of people don't know the difference where they are expressing personal opinions and bias, as opposed to, in theory, the journalistic rules of just presenting the facts without your own bias, which is challenging enough in its own right, but there are so few people that still do that, especially at the national level. They're really talk shows in many cases and not really newscasts. So you're getting one slant or the other, and the people that gravitate to one, they tend to only watch those and then or the other. And so it just reinforces what you already believe. You're not really necessarily trying to listen to the other side.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you say that, because I certainly think that cable news operations opened that door. And cable news was a different animal than more what I would refer to as mainstream media, you know, the three networks. And I know folks have a lot of issues with the three networks, but I think that you will find less opinion, less slant on one of those outlets in ABC, NBC, CBS. Well, maybe before here of late, it's kind of even they're being filtered on what can and can be used on the air. But I just think it's unfortunate all the way around, because we all need to be knowledgeable. We all need to know what's going on. And in this day and age, I just don't know where you get your information from, because it's hard to find just the facts. As they say, just the facts, ma'am.
Well, it used to be 60 minutes for generations, and now that's changed because of some... nobody is without reproach out there right now. So, and then you're fed misinformation constantly on social media. You don't know half the time, is this artificially generated? Is this one of those deep fakes? Who's actually saying that? I always question, you know, what's being said. Is that real?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, I'm at a point now where I would never repost something on any of my social media platforms. I would never take something that someone else posted and put it on my outlet, because I don't know if it's going to be true or not.
I'll give you an example. Is the fact that you might repost something that ends up being not true, and then it could come back on you. But you do ask that question a lot. Is this real? Did he or she actually say that?
And, you know, when people are under fire for that, I often hear them say, well, I just reposted it. It wasn't my original post. excuse me, well, that doesn't matter. If you reposted it, you shared that information. So I think that folks need to be very careful about what they post and or repost.
That said,
one other thing, Larry.
Yes.
Before we go, I had a diagnosis recently that I want to share with you, and I think you might be able to relate to this, but I think that I now have digital dementia.
What does that
mean? Anything? That's like, because, you know, with the advent of smartphones, you don't know anybody's phone number. You don't retain anything because all you have to do is pick up your phone and Google it or whatever, or pick out a phone number. So I don't remember any stuff. You ask me my kids' phone numbers right now. I know my son's because he's had that number for 30 years. My daughter's, I don't know it.
That's a great point. You used to have to know them. You at least knew, you know, 20, 30 numbers. That's
right.
That's something I haven't thought about in a long time.
Digital dementia.
Just ask.
That's all I got.
ChatGPT or Rock or whatever they have. Gemini is Google's artificial intelligence, but I caution people, it's scanning the internet, so it's not a truth sifter. It's only bringing you a collection of what's on the internet, which can be misinformation. So
it's just spitting out that information. So I don't know. This is taking us to a whole new place, Larry Richard.
We'll talk to you next week, Lynn Hayes Freeland. Thank you.
See ya.
Coming up, we're going to check in with Marty Griffin next.
A man accused of killing Charlie Kirk has a hearing scheduled today in a Utah courtroom.
We expect that the suspect will make his first appearance in court at 3 p.m. Mountain Time.
5 p.m. our time, Larry, and maybe more information will be learned before that. There's a news conference at 2 this afternoon.
So far, what we know is we've heard he's not cooperating with authorities, and they're looking into the possibility of if there were any other people connected.
And two-time Oscar winner Robert Redford has died at the age of 89.
What a talent. And he was a legend.
I mean, you know, he had the acting in the 60s and 70s, and then in the 80s, he's an Oscar-winning director. Then he goes on to start Sundance at some point later in his career and becomes a champion of independent cinema. It's just one great achievement after another, Larry.
Yes, sir.
And Penn's captain Sidney Crosby has commented on speculation about a possible trade.
This is where I want to be. I love it here, and I can't keep having to answer the same question over again because of these narratives, you know, like, yeah. If people want to write about that or say that, that's fine, but I can't really control that.
I'm curious, he's sick of asking that.
You
that's
can hear that, yeah.
Social media had posted, and his agent really fueled the fire.
Yeah.
It was suggesting that he was going to go to another team that had a better chance at a playoff, maybe Montreal.
Right. He grew up a Montreal fan, so that all made some sense. Montreal's an improving team. And by the way, this little sidebar that you shared with us earlier about how this was recorded by one of the TV stations while Sidney was making those visits they do every year to give their season ticket holders their tickets in person for the year.
Correct.
And so what's the rest of the story?
Mario Lemieux was his driver. So after all the, you know, exchange of the tickets and pleasantries, then he greeted the media. They turn around and in the street, in the car, at the driver's seat is Mario Lemieux.
He's not up at the, you know, he's not up at the porch with Sidney. He's just hanging out in the car waiting for Sid to come back for a ride.
He was his Uber driver. Pretty nice. All right, coming up, we're going to check in with Marty Griffin next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.